Dr. Barak is the one who did the molecular work in this study. He was a visiting scientist from University of Novi Sad in Serbia, and he followed up. This study started about 20 years ago, by the way. So, okay, where's the move it forward? Where's the arrows here?
Bottom.
Okay. Peachtree Short Life has been around a long time. They had more or less a solution when we had very powerful nematicides, but we lost those. 1979 was the last time we had a good nematicide. And what happens is the orchards are healthy in the fall, and they're third, fourth year trees, very young trees. They come out in the spring, and they collapse. And let me see if I can work my finger here. I don't seem to be getting the arrow, so I will use this. This is a particular orchard in North Carolina. These trees were 4 years old. They came out in the spring, and you see most of them died. This is a border row with some other varieties on a different rootstock. These four trees were on Guardian by chance. All these were on Level. Level was our standard rootstock at that time. So obviously, we do know some things about it. Ring nematode is always involved, and bacterial canker is usually what kills the trees. There's some other factors are involved, which we try to alleviate by cultural practices. I came shortly after the nematicide was banned, and we were losing about 100,000 trees a year in South Carolina alone. Essentially, we knew rootstock selection is very important, and that's what we worked on. Guardian was a joint release from USDA and Clemson, Vikings out of California, and this is a new release out of USDA Byron. We know these rootstocks do give longevity while everything else, the trees die. This is one of my plots where we had four tree plots of a rootstock, the rootstock that we were testing with one scion budded to it, and we used that to do a lot of our screening. That's how we found Guardian. So the objective of this particular talk is we wanted to find the nuclear genomic regions or genes associated with the response to Peachtree Short Life, because we knew rootstock was involved even though the tree dies above ground in the rootstock suckers. So the rootstock doesn't die, but it does influence the scion, which is quite unusual. Originally, we took Guardian, one clone of Guardian that we selected out of a number of individuals we looked at, and NemaGuard. We made a cross, got a number of F1s, then we had F2 families, and this is just stuff we did, I'll show you, years ago. And this is going to be about four families in particular I'm going to talk about, because these had more individuals that we could screen. The original outline was we were originally working with only number 11, the F1 number 11, because we had 100 individuals produced over 2 years. These are from small trees, but these were the 15 original F1s. For this particular study we're going to talk about, we're going to look at the data from these four F1s that were made F2 families. This is the original, what we started, the cross was made in 97. We did a lot of genetic work, genotypic data. There's a few papers, and the last one was by Lou, a different person. These are all PhD students. Then Blenda did some work with phenotypic data, and she published a few papers on that, and so did I. So where we're at right now is we got individual marker analysis and QTL analysis. Originally with the one family, so Dr. Barak came in and found some different ways to try to look at some other families and do a more complete analysis. The original analysis work done, we showed that the phenotypic data corresponded with the genotypic data 4 years, latter 4 years of a 5 year of data that we took were these markers, these blue markers, and then where it's all black, we actually had one region where every year the markers from that particular region associated with short life. So we thought we had a hot spot there. We also looked for QTLs, and every year we had significant QTLs for this particular region, the one month where we had markers. And so essentially the individual marker analysis and the QTL analysis sort of indicated this was a hot spot. And obviously on linkage group 1, 4 and 6, we also had hot spots, as well as linkage group 2. And these are chromosome, essentially Peach has 8 chromosomes, and these are chromosome 1, 2, 4, and 6. Okay, so what Dr. Barak did was we took 83 individuals where we had, you know, phenotypic data and genotypic data from these four SIBF2 families I mentioned, and as well as the two parents. They were constructed this type of mapping algorithm, and what he did was he carried each individual F2 family using IM mapping, and then also obviously the MQM analysis. So he used meta-analysis, and it's a method that combines QTL analysis from individual analyses, both using, you know, SSRs, which we had originally, and then we had a lot of SNP data on all these that we're going to look at. Prior to doing that, he had a consensus map made of the four families, and then QTLs were projected on the consensus map, and then the meta-analysis was conducted in order to redefine the QTL positions in the genome. These were the four F2 families, the linkage map, and then when you did the meta-analysis, they put the all together. And it's going to be hard to see a little bit, but you'll see we have three different, I guess, chromosomes are A, B, and C. If we look at linkage group 1, chromosome 1, where you see the color, this was where the QTLs were. And the QTLs were merged from the four families. And essentially, these are the SNPs, the individual SNPs that we found were different, that they're annotated further here. And once again, this is just for chromosome 1, 4, which was a hot spot. We had a lot of interesting genes there. And once again, this is what it looks like when you break it out. Obviously, it's a lot of little numbers. And 6 also, we had a very hot spot there. Okay, so we looked at these six areas on those four chromosomes, and Petrie SureLife Meta 1.2, the second one on chromosome 1, we didn't see any significant effect on Petrie SureLife tolerance when we merged all those maps together. But the other five all showed significant effect on Petrie SureLife tolerance. So we felt that we definitely had hot spots in the genome that had something to affect with Petrie SureLife, and more specifically with bacterial disease resistance. In this case, Pseudomonas syringae is the pathogen we deal with. If you look at LG4, which was had been a hot spot for a number of resistant genes, you can't really read these, but these are the haplotypes on the x-axis there. Haplotype H2 from Guardian had a significant effect when homozygous on linkage group 4, the first hot spot. And right here, when you had H2 on either ones, you're significantly different, you know, very low rating, phenotypic rating for short life in the field. If you look at haplotype 1 from Guardian, it has a significant effect in the second part of chromosome 4 when it was homozygous. And you can see it's significantly different. Almost no, we had no bacterial canker in those 5 years on trees that had that particular haplotype. Then when we combined both of these, the H2 and the H1 haplotypes, the highest tolerance to short life was observed when both haplotypes are in homozygous state and it could be heterozygous or not, but the H2 and the homozygous H1. And as you go, have you less and less of those haplotypes, what happens is you get very high rates of incidence of the disease. But these two haplotypes, essentially nothing. So once again, individuals that had these haplotypes, over those 5 years, we had no short life or no bacterial canker. So we sequenced the Guardian. We used the latest, using single molecule sequencing. We get, up to 50,000 base pair reads, so it's a very accurate system. And what we have, I don't think too complicated, but we have the level reference genome over here on the right, and then this was the Guardian individual we sequenced. These were the QTLs on linkage group 1, then 4, and on 6. And if you and when you see where these red stacks or these red bars are, those are resistant genes that have been found in other plant systems. They've been annotated, and the functions have been quantified. And we assume or hope that they probably work similarly with peach. Then when you get up here, these are the individual resistant genes, what they are. And where you see blue, a couple areas you see blue, those are genes that are totally unique to Guardian and are not found in level. And Lovell was the standard rootstock for more than 100 years in the southeast. So Guardian replaced that. Okay, so if we look at these, quote, we call them resistant genes, they've been shown to be, they've been annotated and they've shown to be, have function as resistant genes. If we look at the three chromosomes I'm talking about, really on chromosome 4, there was a lot of unique genes in Guardian, and less so in 1 and on 6. But the number of resistant genes are quite high. Obviously, we can't take a long time to look at all those, so we're probably more interested in some of these unique genes in Guardian. For chromosome 1, and, on both ends, Guardian had 3 unique leucine repeat genes and had 9 extra copies of this particular gene. And this particular, these particular genes are known, their function are their disease-resistant proteins. And essentially they work by a hypersensitive response. And Guardian had either multiple copies or had some unique genes that weren't in Lovell. If we look on chromosome 4, what Guardian had there was they had the same genes as Lovell, except they had multiple repeats, 17 extra repeats of this particular leucine-rich, and also four extra copies of that particular one. We do know that these particular genes, they're disease-resistant proteins, and they have a multiple additive effect, and Guardian seem to have multiple, well, obviously more repeats than the standard level. We looked at chromosome 6. There was only two unique genes, two genes in Guardian that were unique that were not found in level, and these are cell signaling pathway genes. So they have wide effects. In other organisms, this is how they work. They work with oxidation of reductants, the biosynthesis, degradation of ligand, and superization. And why I bring up italicized superization is there was work many years ago, 20 years ago, that showed that for Pseudomonas in Prunus, that superization, how quickly the tree can superize a wound, also influences how much how susceptible they are to Pseudomonas. And that's exactly what happens in our situation with Peachtree short life, that Pseudomonas comes in the winter to leaf scars and issues, it kills the tree. And there's a number of other things, and also these genes have been shown in other organisms, the resistance against herbaceous plant hoppers. So from all this, where we're at right now, the genetic mapping reveals 5 key genomic regions on 1, 4, and 6 of the Guardian genome that contribute to short life resistance. We previously work showed that nematode resistance on LG2 suggested an interaction of nematodes and Pseudomonas in the short life syndrome. So that gives us the 4 chromosomes which I first showed you where our markers indicated that there was some type of association with Peachtree short life. Each region of Guardian appears to contribute in a unique way genetically to resistance. So each of these particular hotspots have different type of resistant genes, and how many of them are important or not important in the short life. They all have some type of association due to when we look at our phenotypic data versus our genotypic data. So this provides a foundation for DNA test development to select for resistance in future crosses and selections, and we are already doing that. And obviously, we need a functional validation of these putative resistant genes. Just because they are resistant genes in other plant systems, we don't know how they would work in a woody plant, what have you. So that's work that needs to be done. And with that, the eclipse from last year. Hope. And we got time for questions, I think. Okay, who's got, well, she, her hand up first. Margaret, I'm going to try to push you off till time's up. No. All right, go ahead.
Yes.
Well, what I showed you was compared to Lovell, okay? And so only where I said some of the same gene families are in Lovell, but where I mentioned that either Guardian had more copies or a few unique ones, then they weren't in Lovell. So Lovell has a lot of those too, but Guardian has more, either more repeats, duplications, or actually they have some unique ones. And the signal pathway is very interesting. Oh, reciprocal. We didn't do it. Cassia, do you know? No. So that would be something that maybe should look at, I guess. Yes. Well, in Peachtree Short Life, all the rootstocks usually survive. All the susceptible ones survive. And, we don't know. We just know that right at the graft union, everything above that graft union is influenced by the rootstock somehow. And it's also an interaction of the nematode feeding. And the scion dies right to where the graft union is, and then it suffers. And it's pretty indicative of the classic Peachtree Short Life where you deal with bacterial canker and cold injury. Yes, Margaret. So time's up, Margaret. Okay. All right.
Okay. Do you think that there would be an even bigger resistance effect if you were able to integrate some of these resistance genes from Guardian into scion germplasm? And is that an activity y'all are working on?
Well, I think, Chen showed that Guardians and the rootstocks are almost a different class there. So I don't know. We hadn't looked at the scions, but we did evaluate for scions. When I first started, we evaluated 7,000 different scions and cultivars, and we didn't really see any tolerance. But it could be. Guardian was also a seedling we also tried, and it didn't get. Both Guardian and Florida Guard was another one that did not get as much bacterial canker. But no, we haven't looked at that. But I don't want to steal Dr. Gaffney's not here, is it? There's something we're doing, and I can't tell you right now.
Oh, okay.
Well, it hasn't been published yet. But we're looking at Xanthomonas. Okay, we've worked with Xanthomonas, okay. And we're finding that certain of these disease-resistant proteins work both ways. And we feel there's a few I won't tell you right now that work both with Xanthomonas and Pseudomonas. And Xanthomonas is a problem, of course, above ground. So we're sort of working that way. Well, we are, but that's all I'm saying.
All right, I'll have to corner send you.
Yeah, okay. Well, I told her not to talk to you. So. Okay, anything else? All right, thank you.
Thanks.